do your expectations that you carry into a show make or break the show sometimes? Because I feel that way a lot with the Star Wars shows, that there's these Star Wars YouTubers, and they're just like, you know, they make their living off of doing Star Wars, and yet they'll be like, their theories, they like their own theories and their own idea of what they want so much that they can't, and you can never please them. Because they won't just take what's presented to them and enjoy or not enjoy it. They go into it going, oh, he wasn't the Sith Lord I thought he was going to be, so they ruined it for me.
This show needs to do this, and make it good. And then it doesn't do any of those because that wasn't that guy's
vision. You can't three episodes into a show that's already been created in the can for a year, expect them to, on the fly, change it to your theory of the week.
Star Wars Nut 25 says, and we should, this character should do this thing. Yeah. You're like, oh shit, let's do that right now.
So you also, I remember one of our attempts at doing
we're recording, but we're not recording.
One of our attempts at doing the podcast, like all the way back in December, was you wanted to rant about Ahsoka too, so we could bring that up.
I wanted to, you know,
you were like mad about Ahsoka.
I never even finished Ahsoka. Oh,
I loved Ahsoka. Ahsoka was good. Man. I loved it, but I'm a huge fan of the animated stuff, and it tied so much into the animated. I think a lot of people were lost that didn't follow like Rebels and Clone Wars, and you watched some of that stuff, so I liked it. I don't know how you know you don't like it, and you're not even watching Acolyte. You're just like, oh, I'm not watching that crap. Acolyte's actually pretty good. It's not woke. All the things. Okay, go ahead.
Welcome to Super Fantastic Terrific. Brad, Russ here, and we're continuing to talk about Acolyte. Let's go. I never finished Ahsoka.
Okay.
I watched, and I had a problem, and I mean, it's been so long now. Uh-huh. We tried to podcast, and welcome back to the show.
months the rumors later of our demise are exaggerated.
Again, this
scheduling conflicts.
We tried to do a podcast in December, and then about 2 months ago.
Yeah.
And so it didn't happen.
Life just gets in the way.
We have to just, if it's just us, we just do it. And this is how it has to be now from now on.
Yes.
If anybody else joins,
they join.
If not, who cares? So, Ahsoka.
Yes.
Rosario Dawson.
Yes.
Is just horrendous.
Oh, you just don't like her.
She has like zero presence on the screen. She has like, they made her no emotions. That's like all Ahsoka is in the animated. She's all like a bundle of emotions, and she you know, into the fray, and she's so good. And then you put in Rosario Dawson in charge of bringing Ahsoka to life, and it's just.
But you're dealing with a much older, wiser, like Jedi Master level, like Ahsoka. It's not like teenage Ahsoka. Like when we were introduced to Ahsoka in Clone Wars, she's like 16, 15 years old.
Okay, so the show most recent show, what show was it recently? It was one of the Disney ones that they had a young Ahsoka with Anakin.
Okay, that was Ahsoka. That was like episode 5.
Was Ahsoka. Okay, go back.
That girl was great.
I want that Ahsoka.
So you want Clone Wars live action.
I want Clone Wars live action. Yes. And that's basically
what's that one episode
saying,
basically exactly. was. So that one episode,
oh my god,
it was
so good.
Halfway through the show, basically she ends up in that in-between state, you know, the thing from Rebels where they went into the world between worlds.
The dream realm.
Yeah, she's like in the dream realm, and Anakin's basically like teaching her like his final lesson or whatever. So Anakin's there, but he's kind of like good Anakin but kind of bad Anakin too. So he's like teaching her, but then lightsaber. It was great. That was an amazing episode.
That was a really
good way of bringing Anakin Skywalker back.
Right, and that was the best episode. It was so great. And then it goes back to the lackluster Rosario Dawson. I'm like, you know, I guess
that I would understand if you don't buy into her as Ahsoka.
Yeah.
And she's the main character of the TV show. That's kind of going to be a stumbling point.
I'm going to have a hard time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so Acolyte.
Uh-huh.
So the first episodes come out, and I saw a couple of reels like on Instagram or something, and it was basically somebody said, I don't even know. And then
somebody said, I don't even know.
Somebody said, I don't know exactly what they said, but basically, this is the gayest Star Wars show ever.
Yes, and no.
So I don't even know what that means.
It's not. Well, this is the problem.
So let's go back. So I'm not. What did they mean by it's the gayest star? I mean, I just assume it means
so the showrunner is Leslie Headland, and she was the showrunner of the TV show. Like, it was a Netflix show called Russian Doll.
I loved Russian Doll. Great show.
Well, she's the person that's showrunner for this show. And she's, you know, LGBTQ or whatever. Ugh. So people, and she said some weird statements like a couple years ago before she was making, you know, people give press conferences and they say statements.
Right.
They say their agenda, their, you know, whatever they're an activist about. So people just clung on to her statements and the conservative community, which I'm very much a part of, except for the fact that they sometimes jump on things that are unimportant. Like, we're in the middle of, like, an election, a super important election, and, like, all these conservative channels just decided, okay, Star Wars gets clicks, so we're going to all write our I hate Star Wars and ruin thing. Yeah. And I even, like, went on a couple pages. I even was called Hitler by some conservative person because I...
You were called Hitler?
Because I think I told, like, Daily Wire or somebody, okay, you know, you know, I hate Star Wars for clicks thing. I said, like, you know, we have an election you could be talking about, and instead you're posting these dumb articles about a TV show that you haven't even watched, and that you you're probably not a huge fan of, like me. So I don't think this Star Wars show is that woke. Yes, the showrunner is, you know, a LGBTQ lady.
Okay.
And she said statements in the past that might make you think, oh, the show's going to be just all about, you know, gay everything. And she may have said at one point, oh, it's the gayest Star Wars show ever. But you watch the show and you don't really see that. So
okay, well, and that's okay, good, but
it's not Doctor Who.
Okay, that was going to be my second thing.
Yes,
that was going to be my one. I was about to write it down, and I'm like, okay, well, maybe we won't talk about that. But yeah,
no, the thing is, so like, again, you like what you like. If you like something, watch it and make your own decision.
Right.
You can't go based off of, like, you know, somebody takes a 10-second clip from something and says, oh, look at this, a bunch of lesbian space witches, and this show's the wokest show ever. They were acting like...
Hold on, lesbian space witches, I could be into that.
It sounds... Remember the coupling, the show Coupling? Did you watch the BBC show Coupling?
Yeah, yeah, yes,
and
yes.
And it was a lesbian spank inferno episode. He's trying to explain what the movie was.
The English version was so much better than the US version.
Oh, yeah. So they find the videotape and the thing, and it was a lesbian spanking version. He's trying to say it was like some important documentary. He's trying to explain it. But anyway, so the whole point is, people are like latching on to like statements that a person made, or like, you know, a 3-second clip and interpreting it in a certain way, and it's just, that's not really what the show is.
No, and that's good. But you know, so back when Obi-Wan came out, I watched all those.
Yeah,
and that was just, and my main problem with that is just so damn slow.
Yeah,
and there was, and you know, it was, and then weird TV elements that didn't need to be there, like that. Remember the chase scene, obviously, yeah, the big. And I watched, there was this guy
chasing baby Leia,
right? Like, and then like falling over a log when it was, and bending him in half. I'm like,
yes,
that's not good. I don't know how anybody thought that was good TV.
Well, I almost
but,
feel like,
but,
I was...
on, but then there was a guy,
yeah,
who did
a cut?
A cut.
Yeah, made it into the movie that it was originally movie. Supposed to be.
And it was so much better. He's doing that same thing with Ahsoka now.
Okay.
And so I'm like, okay, I will give that a try when it comes out. But anyway, that's I don't know if I can get past Rosario Dawson.
Yeah. Well, that's going to be a stumbling point then. If you can't get past the main character, that's going to be hard.
See, the thing, I watched all those Marvel Netflix shows.
Yeah.
And she was like the thread through all those shows.
Yeah, all the Daredevil
stuff. Right. Daredevil, Luke Cage, and Iron Fist, whatever it's called. Jessica Jones. She was in all of those.
Yeah.
And I didn't have a problem with her. And then
yeah.
I just... She's not Ahsoka.
Yeah.
They could have gone much better. I think they bought the name.
I liked it when the episode of Mandalorian where she was in it, where he bumped into her on that one planet.
That was fine.
So I bought into it. I just accepted it. You know, so I didn't have a problem with that, but that could be a huge stumbling point. If like you don't buy the main character as the main character of this character you've watched for now like 15 years through 2 animated shows, and you're like, oh, that's not her. That would make it hard to watch.
Yeah.
So I understand that. I feel like a huge Star Wars apologist because I pretty much liked everything the Disney era. Other than The Last Jedi, which just didn't sit right with me. It just, like, I have complaints about that movie. But the rest of this, like, all the TV shows I've liked. Even, like, I have complaints about all of them. Like, Obi-Wan, they shouldn't even, that Reva character kind of took away from Obi-Wan's story. It was almost like,
did.
It was like what you were saying. It was originally meant to be a movie. They canceled it from being a movie after the Solo movie didn't do as good, which I love the Solo movie.
The Solo movie was so great.
I love the Solo movie. Like, if anything, I'm like, fine, don't do another movie. Just do a Solo TV show. I'll watch that, you know, 15 days a week. I watch that, you know. I'd love to see a Solo series. But, no, like, so there was things, so they took a movie and they stretched it into a, what, 6-episode TV show.
Right.
And so then they add these other characters that, like, don't matter. Like, we want to know about Obi-Wan and we want to know about Vader. And then you introduce this completely other Inquisitor character and give her this whole story that, like, every time she's doing her thing, you're like, okay, get back to Obi-Wan, get back to Vader.
So,
because it had great moments in it. The Vader-Obi-Wan fight was, like, amazing.
It was good. Oh, yeah, it was great. And then... You thought, well, the second fight.
Yeah, the second fight. I'm not talking
the
about
first
the one. That one where he was like walked through the fire.
Oh, yeah. That was horrendous.
That my big complaint about that episode is that seems so low budget. Like they were in a quarry.
You know what? Every time
it seems Star Wars.
If you go to like you start a Star Wars movie and it's in the forest or in the desert,
yeah.
I go low budget.
Yeah.
We've spent all our money on costumes, yeah. on talent,
Luke.
On talent, or on effects. Yeah. And now we're just going to put everything in the desert.
Yeah.
But, you know, there is precedent for that. Because obviously all the shows are Endor or, you know, Wookiee Planet. Not.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Tatooine, those are all, they're recreating those things from the movie. So that's okay, fine. But it just feels low budget.
Yeah.
And I've never watched. Well, I haven't watched any. I think I watched 2 episodes of Andor.
Uh-huh.
It was boring. Didn't get any better.
Andor is. It's a great. It's the best of all the Star Wars shows. It probably has the best writing and the best dialogue. The problem with Andor is, it's basically shot in 3-episode arcs. So the first 2 episodes kind of build, and then the 3rd episode kicks ass. And then it goes back to 2 episodes of building slowly, and then the 3rd episode kicks ass. Oh, so it's like it's like a slow burn, and then they get to like the 3rd episode that they poured all the money into. But they had like this one this one episode where the whole thing is like he's in a prison and they're just like building things in a prison. It's very like low key, but then like it builds to this great thing. And some of the speeches and the dialogue in that show were like off the charts, like some of the best stuff you've ever seen in Star Wars.
Okay.
Like, the writing is amazing. But it is a slow burn. Like, it's not, like, excitement. Like, Mandalorian starts off, and, like, it starts off like, you know, Wild West Clint Eastwood walking into a bar, kicking some guy's ass.
Right.
And then fighting a space monster and taking off. Like, that was, like, you know, crazy good. Andor's, like, takes its time to build up.
Andor, okay, well, we're going to put you in this in this camp in the forest.
Yes.
Low budget.
Yes.
You know, just a lot of talking, not
but
a lot
then
of action.
It's like the 3rd episode, and they're doing this heist. It's like a heist movie where they're stealing all these Imperial credits,
and then
they take off through this, like, you know.
That was basically where I stopped, right before the heist.
Yeah, the heist was amazing. So, that's the point. That show is
I remember that. I'm like, okay, I got to give it a second try, but I've been watching other things, so
there's so much other stuff on. But this is one of the things we kind of wanted to talk about, because you were making fun of me online for my boys' take. But the expectations of what you bring into or not into a show. So for the Acolyte...
Unrealistic expectations.
And how it can make or break a show for you.
Right. Yeah, so
sticking with the Acolyte...
Sure.
Of all the Star Wars show, it was the least I was excited about, because it was, like, unknown. It's like...
I still don't know what it's about at all.
I basically used to read all the Star Wars books, and then at one point, you know, when Disney bought it, they said, okay, all that stuff you read doesn't count anymore. And I kind of, like, had gotten to the point where I wasn't reading as much anymore. My eyesight was different.
Now Timothy Zahn, that guy sucks.
Yeah.
Nothing he wrote is any good.
So I'm, you know, things changed. I went through a huge part where, like, I didn't read for the first 21 years of my life, and then I got out of school, and I read, like, 500, 600 books over like a 10-year period, and now I'm to where the point where, like, at the end of the day, after computers and phones, I can't look at a book without, like, getting a headache if I read five pages.
I'll fall asleep. My eyes are too tired.
Yeah, my eyes are too tired, so I don't read anymore. And I almost felt like I didn't need to anymore, because they said all that stuff is great. It's legends. It doesn't matter anymore. Mm. And now we're doing this new books in this High Republic era, which I'm what the hell is a High Republic? It's like 200 years before Phantom Menace, and it's like so there's none of the characters. I don't care who any of these people are.
Nobody cares. Yeah.
But the Acolyte takes place at the end of the High Republic.
But that's where you get Thrawn.
No, Thrawn comes in like right around Return of the Jedi or before.
But he comes in. He starts from the books.
Yes.
So are the Zahn books canon, or are they legends?
This is what they're kind of doing. They're kind of bringing in things from legends and like repurposing him. So basically, when they brought in Thrawn, they made him very much like the books, but he didn't have the exact backstory or the exact story from the books. Because the story in the books, the reason that was so huge is the final Star Wars movie, Return of the Jedi, had ended, and there was like nothing after that. All there was like some older books that you could read, and then all of a sudden, like early 90s, they came out with this hardback Star Wars book, and it was like taking place after Return of the Jedi, and you're like, oh wow, crazy. And that's the Thrawn trilogy.
Yes.
And it was like bestseller number one book on the entire, you know, charts. And it was like, oh wow, Star Wars is back. I can read about Han, Leia, Luke, you know, on further adventures. It's, you know, Star Wars still exists. The movies are done forever. There's only three. but now there's this whole series of books. And so I totally got into it. It was like one of the first things I started reading because I could imagine the characters. You're reading about somebody you've seen. So, you know, it wasn't just like reading, you know, oh, there was a tall blonde guy with a, you know, fedora.
Oh, you know,
it's like I can visualize these characters through the whole movie.
I listened to the audiobooks.
Yeah.
And they're so good.
Oh, they're
dramatized and oh, they're so good.
Yeah.
Yes. So anyway,
the whole thing is, so they bring things that they like from Legends and they kind of reintroduce them into canon. And they're constantly doing that with stuff.
So they're not just
adapting the old books. They're just going, okay, we like that one character from that one book. We'll bring him in.
So it's basically, I do what I want.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what it sounds like.
Basically, I do what I want. We'll bring in what we want. We'll keep out what we want. Like, George Lucas hated this one character from the Thrawn books, which Luke eventually marries in the book series, called Mara Jade. And Luke and George Lucas are like, oh, I don't like that character.
Wait. Do that George Lucas.
I can't. It's horrible George Lucas.
That was good.
it doesn't need a bunch of slavers. White slavers. No. So anyway, George didn't like the character, you know, so it's like that character they're probably never going to bring back in, but everybody loved Thrawn. Thrawn was like one of the coolest villains ever. So they brought him back in now into the animated and now into the live action. So he's like going to be the big bad probably through like the Mandalorian movie and Ahsoka season 2, stuff like that.
Now, I can't say that I agree with the decision. Like the guy that did the voice character for Thrawn ended up being the guy that they hired to be Thrawn. And I can't say that's a great choice.
Well, voice wise it is.
Yes. Yeah. But visually I'm like, that guy's too old.
Yeah.
I mean, basically, and not to sugarcoat it. He's just too old to be Thrawn. So the unrealistic expectations came in.
So let me go back to, because this is what I was starting
so
to talk
you're,
about.
So you still got something about Acolyte.
Yeah. So I was saying, of all the shows, it was the one I was the least excited about, the one I cared about the least, because all the other shows were like, The Mandalorian was cool. It's like a Boba Fett bounty hunter character. And then, you know, Boba Fett, everyone knows Boba Fett. And then Ahsoka, you know, we followed from the TV. So every other character, like, I knew from, like, a movie or a previous animated show, they were like characters I was already like invested in for 10, 15, 30 years in Boba Fett's case. So this, you're going to the Acolyte, it's like some random Jedi you've never heard of 100 years before any story you've ever seen or read. And but it was so I was like, oh, I had low expectations going into it. So for me, having low expectations going into it, I've really liked it. It's probably still not one of my favorites of any of the other stuff. Like Mandalorian would still probably be my top of the current of the Star Wars shows. But having low expectations and the fact that it's kind of like this, like almost like a murder mystery. It's like a mystery kind of show, where like the Jedi are trying to solve something, and you know, and then you see some event and you don't know what really happened, but you know there's something really bad happened because the characters are acting weird from this event that happened 16 years earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got like these like nuggets that you just keep kind of falling on.
So that was the kind of we had talked about this prior.
Yeah.
That you know it's now we're. Hopefully, and maybe this is it, maybe this is the one of them that we're going to get. Murder mysteries, a comedy,
different stories,
thrillers. Yeah. Set in the Star Wars universe, and that's
so you have to basically look at Star Wars now.
Star Wars
is a genre.
Yeah.
So in the old days, you know, the westerns were a genre. There was like hundreds and hundreds of western movies with different characters and different stuff. Almost Star Wars is almost its own genre now. Where you can just have different things happening in different parts of the galaxy, and tell different stories. You know, it doesn't. Everything doesn't have to be linked to Luke Skywalker's story anymore.
Right.
Which is kind of the fresh thing about this show is that it takes place when there's still a lot of Jedi. You know, because most of the stuff in the Skywalker, it's like there's one or two Jedi left in the world.
Right.
That's it.
Right. Right.
And this is back like, you know, pre Phantom Menace, so there's even more Jedi than Phantom Menace out there in the world. There's, you know, thousands of. You go to the Jedi Temple and you see like 30, 40 Jedi just wandering around in the background. So it's like there's all these cool Jedi. And the show got review bombed because of the, you know, oh, it's woke. So the show came out and it was getting like 13% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh.
But like there were more people reviewing it than had watched it kind of thing.
Like you couldn't have watched it in the time and all of a sudden they're reviewing it. Yeah.
There's like a 5,000 reviews, you know, 5 minutes after the show came out and it's all just like, oh, it's the worst thing I've, you know, ever.
Okay.
Like bot. It got bot bombed basically.
Yeah.
So it's like it's going to be stuck down there forever on Rotten Tomatoes, which I don't care about Rotten Tomatoes because they say some things are great, but I think they're crap. And whatever.
Sometimes you got to know who got to like them more better.
Yeah.
But there's, you know, it's I'm all for giving things a fair shake.
Yeah. So I watch this stuff like there's like I like watching shows and I like watching YouTube breakdowns and theories.
We talked about it. I love watching new rock stars, but I can't because I haven't watched the shows.
Yeah.
I'm not watching that anymore.
Yeah, you
can't
watch those
shows anymore.
Yeah.
Cause I'm like, I don't want to spoil it for myself.
Yeah.
And so I don't watch those. I haven't watched them in a long time. I'll watch like the Nerdrotic guy, which I've seen.
Uh-huh.
He kind of goes more generic, like Star Wars bad.
Yeah. Well, but he's one of those people. It's like, and there's like a guy named Star Wars Theory and like, he's just basically crapping on the show, but he's one of those people that like thinks he knows like what's in George Lucas's head
he
and
knows
George
better.
Lucas wouldn't or wouldn't have done this. And he likes... So everything he does is his entire YouTube channel is based on Star Wars, and all he does is shit on Star Wars now because every show is just like not what he expected it to be.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
He takes his own expectations into every show, and it didn't do the 10 things that he wanted. So then it's all crap. And you're like, if you watch the show, you're like, okay, even if you're not in love with it, even if you don't think it's the greatest show ever, I figure like you have to look now at Star Wars as like. When you're looking at a TV show, it's not like a movie that comes out once every 3 years and you go, oh, that was crap or that was great. You're watching a TV show. There could be one episode that's like a clunker.
Right.
But there's another one next week. And if this 8-episode series...
Hold on. So, but go back. It used to be when there were 26 episodes a season.
Yes.
One bad episode. Okay, whatever. But there's only... 8.
Yes, but that's every show now too.
I know, but that's
every
shit.
Show is like what used to be a BBC series.
BBC, you know, BBC they used to be 12, 13 seasons, and now those are now 8, 6 episodes is not a season.
Yeah,
that doesn't make sense. It's basically we don't want to edit this movie, and so we're just going to put it all in and divide it up into six 1 hour episodes.
And so that's basically what it is. They're almost like making like a 4-hour movie and chopping it into 8 episodes.
And then adding unnecessary chase scenes to make 6 hours.
Stuff. I mean, and you're like, you had this big budget. Like, where is it sometimes? You wonder where the budget went. And then you see, like, some special effects shot that probably cost the whole budget.
Well, then there's way too many shots of, like, they're in space. And you see them, and they show them.
Remember how they used to do on Star Trek.
They're just, like, going through space. And you're like... Why are they showing space? We know they're in space. Star Wars.
Star Trek used to have like episodes where like on their old show where it'd be like, oh wow, that was like 2 really good episodes, like a little arc at the end of the season or whatever.
Yeah.
But you'd also get what we called the ship in the bottle episodes.
Brad's in the infamous ship in the bottle.
Let's save some money this week and we'll just do a
holodeck episode.
or the famous, they do this in every sci-fi show I've ever seen. Every sci-fi show I've ever seen, they get the two people trapped on a planet. Like they're just in a cave trying to figure out how to get off the planet.
Timba, or, his arms wide.
Yes, or there's the infamous virus. They've done, I swear to God, every single sci-fi show I've ever seen has the virus has invaded the base or invaded the ship episode.
Or
everyone dies and then they come up with a miracle cure at the end of the episode and save everybody.
It's a computer virus that tries to kill them all.
Yes,
the ship tries to kill them and so they're fighting against the ship itself.
We were talking earlier about the show Another Life, which every episode was literally like a cliche from another sci-fi thing I'd seen.
Right.
And there was also a show that got renewed for a second season on sci-fi right now called The Ark. And I made it through season 1 because I kept thinking, okay, there's got to be a twist. There's got to be something happening next week, right? And it was just, it was a cool concept. Like, all these people got on this ship, they're leaving Earth to go to another planet, you know, because the Earth is dying or whatever.
Sure.
And then on their way there, like, faster ships were built after them that have gotten there before them.
Oh,
and they're, okay, like, on still on the journey. And you keep thinking, like, well, there's going to be some, like, alien, they're going to run into some aliens. Or now, every episode was like, we're out of water. How do we solve the water problem? Oh, no, there's a hole in the hole. How do we fix the hole in the hole? It was like just stereotypical, you know, sci-fi problem of the week on a ship. And it was like, oh, my God, this show has to be going somewhere. Never did.
Never did.
Got renewed.
You know, sci-fi people are some of the most forgiving.
Yeah, well, it's
they
also,
can be.
It's also because sometimes there's a lack of stuff out there. So,
right,
like,
and, you know,
if it's the one sci-fi show on sci-fi, you're going to watch it.
Okay, fine, I'll watch it. Yeah. You know, you may complain about it, but you're going to come back for more, and then your watching gets counted. So
again, expectations. So people like really bring their expectations, and so that you have these lifelong Star Wars fans that are pissed at every show.
Yes.
You'll see the greatest thing ever. You'll be like, oh my God, okay. Even if you didn't like the Boba Fett show, the finale where he's riding a freaking Rancor through the town and there's Cad Bane gunfight. Like, how can you not like that?
Right.
Even if some of the writing's clunky and you're like, oh, I wouldn't have made these choices for Boba Fett. I would have done a different story.
But there was a payoff.
There was a payoff. There were like things that were like worth seeing.
Yeah.
I remember at the time, I think House of the Dragons was out or something like that. Something big was out in the movie theaters. And I just remember watching some movie and being like, oh, yeah, that was good. But then I was more excited about the Boba Fett episode because they were, like, in some casino and they heard some rumbling and everybody ran out in the street and these two giant huts came down.
Right.
And I was like, oh, I couldn't believe it, the huts. and the Black Wookiee. I was like, I like that better than, like, the big budget movie that was making $800 million in the theater.
Absolutely.
No, I was just good. Like, this is, like, stuff that you dream about as a kid when you're playing with your action figures. So, like, even if you're like, okay, the story could be better, the writing could be better, but you're like, oh, but then there was that. So that's how Acolyte was. The first couple episodes were pretty good. You know, and they got to one episode that all the Star Wars fans were mad. Oh, it breaks canon. That's the funny thing.
Oh, it breaks canon, yeah.
It's something, some random thing that doesn't matter, and people are like, oh, it breaks canon forever. It's ruined my life. And you're like, oh, they just, like, renamed some character that was, like, written about in a book that never was, you know, in a movie or a TV show before.
Right.
Who cares? So they finally get to this one episode that was like basically a 25-minute lightsaber fight. And like, spoiler alert, some characters that you didn't think were going to die during the show died. So it like all of a sudden it gave it stakes. It was like, oh, wow. Like this is kind of like a Game of Thrones situation or, you know, one of those kind of things where it's right. Like, cool. I thought this person was like one of the main characters.
Yeah, and they're gone after the first.
Dead. You're like, oh, shit. Like anybody could die. You know, that gives you like weight. That's one of the reasons that like Game of Thrones worked so well. Is like the end of season one, the only actor that you knew going into Game of Thrones was, oh, Sean Bean. That's the guy from all those movies, you
right.
know?
Yeah.
He's the guy from Lord of the Rings. He's the guy from, you know, all those movies. And then like he gets his head chopped off at the end of the first season. You're like, where do they go from here? Who's going to die next? It gave you like stakes.
So
that was one of my.
Now that was one of your complaints. Segues. You actually said that about The Boys. Yes. Like, there's no
consequences.
There's no, yeah. Everybody's right. So let's go back. So
Homelander
seasons 1 through 3.
Yeah.
What was your take on those?
I loved season one. I thought season one was amazing. I thought season two had some hiccups because they had the whole fake Scientology storyline with the Deep and.
Oh, the Deep. That was a little
that
weird.
That was dumb. Yeah, I didn't like that. I didn't like the fake Nazi storyline. I didn't like that. So season two was kind of like a down, but there was like still great things in it.
Right.
And then it kind of came back for me. Season three was great. Jensen Ackles joined the show as
Soldier Boy. Yes.
And it kind of ramped up to like a really good finale where like, you know, oh, they're all trying to take each other out. And like, it felt like, you know, kind of a big ending to that season. Like, you know, there was some big stuff that happened at the end of that season. And now we get to season. And then Gen V came out. I had zero expectations for Gen V. I'm like, oh, am I even going to watch that? It's like some teenage spinoff.
Gen V, yeah. So let's go. Gen V started very weird with the whole blood thing. How are they, you know.
Yeah, that power is weird.
That was weird. And like, but it ties into The Boys, too.
But it tied into The Boys, and the storyline was really good. I thought the story of season three was really, you know, that they're creating this super virus that could kill off all the superheroes, you know, and then one guy's like stuck in this like, you know, underground thing, and it was just dealing really with really cool issues that were of that age, like it was all about social media. Where am I on the rankings of social media?
Right.
It's like what, how you ranked yourself as the superhero and being, you know, possibly moving up to be in the seven eventually. So I thought it was a really cool angles they took with that show. And it just worked way a lot better. So I went in with like zero expectations and I was like, oh, this is just as good as The Boys. They have that tech character, Tech Knight. And he was all interested in banging anything that had a hole.
Right.
You know, he'd see a cone like out in the street and he'd go, oh, that's got a hole in it.
So what is your problem with The Boys season four?
I don't know. Maybe I'm just...
Because you get some of that Tech Knight.
I feel like...
You get some of the Godolkin characters coming in.
I didn't get through the
in.
Last episode where apparently, you know, something really grotesque happens again.
Oh, okay.
I feel like almost... I like, my favorite thing about it is Homelander.
Okay.
I think he is one of the best, like the scariest, coolest, like villains ever. Like, he's basically Superman that's a little bit crazy and could just like wipe anyone out at any time. He's like, he's going to snap. He's crazy. And they're building up to that. They were building up to where basically he doesn't give a shit anymore. The whole first couple seasons, he's very controlled by Vought. They were very much like, you know, it's all about publicity and he wanted to be liked.
Right.
And he's kind of gotten to the point now where he realized, oh, I just lasered that one guy
and
nobody cared.
And in season three, that not only did they, he lasered that guy for throwing a plastic bottle at his kid and blew up his head and everybody goes,
cheered him
on. And he's like, I can do no wrong.
Yeah. So basically now they've been ramping up to where he can basically become this,
and then they had like
a,
you know, this,
a god. He thinks of himself as a
then
god.
Then they had
now.
this you know, fake trial or, you know, this, you know, but like the, it's like if you try, oh, we're going to put Superman on trial. We're going to put Hancock in jail. It's like, no, you're not. if he lets you.
Yeah.
So
it's just, I feel like he's like this ticking time bomb. He could kill anyone at any moment. He's proved that he's done that to certain people, but it's always just random people or side characters. I feel like The Boys, other than when they were like taking some, you know, temporary V, they're just like a bunch of dudes running around. And there's always like, Victoria Newman can pop your head.
Right.
Like that. And they're all just like, oh, but I got this one piece of paper here that we might release if you do anything.
If we die, you'll... Okay, no, I do agree that that's,
like
a little bit, that's a little bit thin.
Homelander's now reached the point where he doesn't give a shit anymore. I feel like he would just laser all of them to death the second he saw him. But instead, it's just like, oh, you know, they got a person that can pop your head and a person that could just like destroy you. And they never do. They just never do. There's no. They feel like there's no stakes. They need to like kill off one of them. Just kill off one of them or two of them. Like kill off Mother's Milk. Kill off Frenchie.
Let's kill off Frenchie.
Yeah, let's definitely kill off Frenchie. So that's my other thing. It's basically like, okay, Frenchie all of a sudden now has like a gay lover whose family he killed when he was an assassin. Like, I don't even care about that storyline.
No, that was all.
You know, Simon Pegg's all fine and dandy, and that was kind of cool when he was jumping through walls. But it's also, those are both side stories.
But hold on, let's go back. So, spoiler. What the hell? They make him like a soup, and then he's like, oh, we're just going to kill you.
Yeah. Well, because...
Why?
It was basically like the Pet Cemetery thing, where you try to bring Gabe back.
That's a good one.
That's what it is. It's basically the Pet Cemetery. My dad's going to die if I don't give him this. I give him this, but now he's like...
He's not the same.
Discriminately, like, accidentally killing people, and he's not happy. I don't think I did him any good. So you got to take him back and bury him in the cemetery.
I like the Pet Cemetery.
That's basically what it is. So I guess my biggest problem is I like the violence. I like the parrying. I like the concept of The Boys being like, you know, satire of superhero genre. But I don't like the unnecessary, like, grotesque scenes. Like, I don't get it. Some people think it's hilarious. I don't find, like, an Ant-Man crawling into somebody's, you know, paper mache penis and exploding.
Dude, that was great.
I'm over it, though.
That was great.
What was that character's name? You lost me when the multiplier was human centipeding himself for some reason.
Oh, my gosh. That was so
gross. I don't even, like, accidentally bump into stuff like that on the internet, okay? Like, I'm like, what is this? Why am I... He just wandered off from a speech at a convention, and he goes into some sauna by himself, and is like, I didn't like that. I'm over that. And I didn't like... I like the danger. I like when Homelander went into like where he grew up and he was like terrorizing the people. But then they took it too far and they make the guy, okay, you know, jerk off in front of me and I'm going to laser your penis. Like, I don't need the over-the-top sexual grotesqueness.
I understand. No, I agree.
I'm over it. I'm just done with that. That's not my favorite part of the show.
Yeah, no, I agree. There's a little bit of that. But I thought, though, that...
And apparently I read the episode I haven't even watched yet has some, like, really violent scene that the producer was, like, thinking is hilarious. And everyone's like, oh my God, like, that was a little bit over the top. What happens to Huey? Are you caught up?
I think I'm one behind.
One behind, so we won't even bring it up. Okay. I read about it online. I haven't even seen it.
Okay.
You can save that. That could be a whole another episode. Something really bad happens to Huey, apparently, in this episode. He doesn't die, but he...
Oh, no. Maybe I'm not behind. Maybe I just didn't...
There's a big backlash online because people were saying, like, oh, that was, like, kind of crossed the line. That's a little bit too much. And the producer was like, oh, I thought it was hilarious.
It was more of a, you know, violating Huey than it was funny.
Yes.
But
the producer's reaction to people being mad was kind of made him even more pissed off.
But
he thought the sexual assault was hilarious.
And then when Huey, spoiler, you know, but Huey cries in the thing, but inevitably he's not crying about that as he is. He's crying about his dad.
Yeah.
And that's where I went, oh, he's crying about his dad. I'm like, oh, my God. And then, like, it got me. Like, yeah. It was an emotional moment.
But then maybe 3 months from now, he's going to be crying about what just happened to him, too.
Right. He may. But it was, again, it was kind of, it was actually a little bit funny.
Yeah.
I don't agree that it was terrible.
Okay.
So.
But anyway, so,
my, so you, my, have, you have to see it.
My thing with the boys is just now, it's just like, I feel there needs to be stakes. I think, you know, you've got to kill off somebody. You can't just have, like, all these characters where you think, all these average characters that just never get killed by superheroes.
Yeah.
You know, there's people that could, like, rip them apart in a second and laser them and pop their heads, and they're just like, oh, but I got a secret tape on you. Okay. We'll make an alliance.
You know, there are certain scenes. There's the Vought on Ice. The Vought on Ice. Whenever, like, I thought that was the funniest scene. It was so gross, and there's, like, guts flying out and everything, but it is still. I thought it was really hilarious.
I have no problem with, like, blood and guts. I mean, one of my favorite movies of all time was Evil Dead. Dead Alive. Well, Evil Dead's one of my favorite movies, too, but that's not as gory. Dead Alive, where at the end, the guy basically takes a lawnmower and is lawnmowering zombies in, like, the bloodiest scene you've ever seen in your life. They probably used, like, 15 bathtubs worth of blood just for that one scene. So, like... You know, and there was, like, a baby zombie running around getting kicked in the head. Like, I love that kind of stuff. It's just the over-the-top sexual stuff that I'm just,
okay.
Like...
Yeah, no. There was nothing sexual about this one.
Yeah.
It's just, it was kind of slapstick. It was
almost...
Even
Gen Z,
they
had the shrinking girl, like, you know, on somebody's thing. You know, whatever. I want the boys... I feel this season has not had a strong storyline going anywhere. I feel it's just like a bunch of random scenes. And some of the scenes are cool. Like, again, every time Homelander's on screen, you're like, oh, what's going to happen? You know, this guy's, he's so good at that role. He is so good at playing that role.
Yeah.
But then, again, I don't need Frenchie having a gay love affair that has nothing to do with the main storyline. Like, why? What's the point of that?
See, well, here's the thing. Maybe it will.
Yeah.
You don't know right now. How many episodes are they going to be on this one? Nine or...
Didn't he, like, turn himself in or something?
He did. He turned himself in. So, but we don't know what's going to happen with that whole storyline.
Yeah.
It could be woven in someone differently, you know. It's too early to tell. Yeah. So
expectations. You said I just had high expectations, and my expectations were just like, all. I'm just not liking the story as much. It's not.
Well, but that's the thing. Like, that's...
Gen Z
don't see where it's going, and so you're frustrated.
Yeah, I'm frustrated. We're gonna try to get the virus from the other show, and this guy's, you know, in the hospital with his father, and Starlight, just her plastic surgery is horrible.
Oh my gosh. So hold on. That was the other thing. Erin Moriarty, yes. Starlight in the show.
So cute in season one.
So cute. And then what the hell happened?
She tried to make herself look like a Kim Kardashian type, and it just, like... And then she claimed she didn't get plastic surgery, and then she got mad at everybody who said she got plastic surgery. And you look at season one, you look at this. This is only like 4 years apart. I'm sorry. Your face didn't change on its own.
Right.
I hate people just lying. If you got plastic surgery, say, I got plastic surgery, and I like how it looks, then fine. We can like it or not like it. But don't lie to people and then get butthurt when people point out that you clearly got a bunch of work done that doesn't make you look... I can't even see... When every time she's on screen now, I'm just like, oh, ugh.
You know, it's not as bad as... There's a picture online that... I remember seeing
the first one that popped up.
That popped up, I'm like, oh my gosh, what happened? Like, here, I'm gonna post this picture. This is the one that I'm gonna show Brad here. But this, it's gonna fucking ad. Okay, there we go. So this one, like, so
even that one doesn't look as bad as sometimes looks.
Right. No, and there's one picture online that's just, you look at it, you know, and that was the one everybody kind of had a problem with. Like, what did she do to herself? And I don't like it.
Then she turned it around like all these people are evil trolls and they're harassed. You know, you lie. You're lying. I'm sorry. You got something done.
Yeah. And
it looked better before. Which happens with many celebrities when they get plastic surgery.
You know, and then look at Carrot Top. There is actually an element of maybe she actually just lost weight and it's all on her face. But I don't think I think she had something tightened up.
No, she got
in
like
her
cheeks done, her chin done.
And the nose looks like it was done too. It's kind of more pointed up.
So that takes me out of the show.
She's got that pig look, and then she did something to her lips too.
Yeah.
You know, I think back to Meg Ryan, how freaking adorable she was.
Yes.
And then she started cutting on herself and getting procedures, and you're like, she's gone. The sweetheart of
the
Hollywood is
love.
Gone.
Yeah.
The queen, literally the queen of romantic comedies, just gone. Really, really. She could have been doing those forever. Could have been doing one now. Older romantic comedy. I'd be into that.
So anyway, expectations. It wasn't expectations for me. It was just... You joked and you AI'd some response to me.
I did. You're disappointed.
Yes.
And then and you're frustrated that it's not better. Mm-hmm. And then my thing was, then you could even be depressed. Mm-hmm. Are you depressed about
this? I'm obviously still watching the show, so I'm not like checked out. It's just that. Yeah, maybe a little bit of expectations because Gen V was so much better than I thought it would be.
I think we don't know. That's coming is going to be better than you are expecting. I think it's going to be a great. Like, I think we got three more episodes. I think they're going to be the best three.
I think
they're going to be awesome.
I was kind of like, oh my god, July is going to be like, or June and July are going to be the best months ever. You've got a new Star Wars show. You got The Boys coming back, and House of Dragons is coming back. I haven't even re-signed up for HBO to watch House of Dragons yet, because for me, season one was very much like, okay, it's kind of boring. Oh, the ending was really good. Every episode was like, the first 40 minutes were just kind of like meandering around, a lot of talking, not a lot going on. And then they'd have something worth it at the end that you'd stick around
also,
for the next
episode. Also, a lot of, any of that
more
show
dragons,
was a lot of desert scenery.
There was one episode that was so dark, I thought there was something wrong with my TV, which there actually is something wrong with my TV.
Oh, no.
But the episode was shot so dark that you couldn't see even which characters were talking to each other at one point. And I remember just seeing all these people commenting about it. But then it had some really good scene at the end. You're like, okay, I'll come back next week. So whatever, it has dragons in it. I will eventually get to it. But I another thing, so expectations. Yeah. So are there any shows, what else have you been watching in the last 8 months? For me, I think the best place right now, sci-fi wise, is Apple Plus.
Really?
So I just came across this, like, I didn't even know this was out there, and I don't know how I didn't know out there. It was like a multiverse show called Dark Matter. And I it was like 2 weeks before it came out, I'm like, what is this Dark Matter? Jennifer Connelly's in it? Oh, cool. And Joel Edgerton. It's like my favorite show of the year so far.
Really?
The finale just finished. It's very much... So basically, I won't give you too much because you haven't watched it. But the basic storyline is... So there's... It's like you make decisions in life. And then they say that every decision you make, like, splinters off into, like, a new universe, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's this one guy. He was, like, a scientist. And he decided... he got this girl pregnant, which is Jennifer Connelly's character. And in one reality, he basically quits his dream of working on this dream science project that he wants so he can kind of have a life with her. And the other version of him goes on and does that. So the version of him that goes on and does that eventually creates this thing, which is like the Schrodinger's cat box, where like the cat's both dead and alive at the same time because you haven't opened the door yet to see if the cat's dead or alive.
Right.
So technically the cat exists as both dead and alive until you open the door to see. He creates this box that basically allows him to go into all the different multiverses. And he finds this one life. It's, he regrets breaking up with the girl. So he finds a life where he has a life with her and a kid, the kid that he, you know, didn't end up having. And he basically steals that guy's life and kicks him back into his world. So the whole show is this one guy who hasn't lived this life trying to adapt to be with the love of his life and this kid, but he doesn't know, like, his whole history. And the other version of him is just trying to get back.
And it sounds pretty good.
It's iconic. The best way to describe it is think of a real serious sci-fi version of Sliders. So right, take the hokey every episode we're on the Universal backlot of Sliders. I liked Sliders, but
Sliders was good.
But it was goofy. It's like every week you were like on, you know, the backlot. Every single week was on the backlot. The worlds were all the, you know, just slightly different. Oh, we're in the Nazi world and we're in this world. And the world where, you know, women run you know, whatever. Sliders was Sliders. But it was like low budget TV show on like what, UPN or something like that.
Right.
And this is like a real sci-fi with like really good actors. And it's a really cool concept. You just have to watch it. Especially when you get to the end, it kind of goes crazy at the end. But I won't give away anything because you haven't seen it. Next time, when we come back 3-4 months from now, and you've seen Dark Matter, I want to talk about the ending.
Okay. All right. Good. But so it's funny. I haven't been watching a lot of TV shows. Yeah. I've been watching more like catching up on movies that I haven't, you know, I just ignored for a long time. And so I haven't been getting into like a lot of TV shows, except for, speaking of making a decision that I regret, starting season 13 of season one. I don't know what this shit is. Doctor Who.
And now the funny thing is, because you're a big Doctor Who fan.
I've watched it from the reboot.
And basically since they rebooted it on what was it, on the Sci-Fi Channel?
It was on BBC.
Remember I used to say you had to get some special connection to watch the episodes.
Absolutely.
When we first started podcasting, you were talking about having to figure a way to get to Doctor Who. And it's so funny because sci-fi and time travel are my two favorite things. And I just never got into Doctor Who. Probably because I always saw it as the old Doctor Who.
See, the old one, I could not get into. They show pictures of that in the new shows. And even then, like, oh, like, this is me from the past. Yeah. You're like, I couldn't have got into that.
And I remember watching it when it first came out with the reboot. And I don't remember. What was the first guy?
Christopher Eccleston.
Eccleston or something like that. Yeah, and I remember watching the whole first season, and it was okay, and I kind of just fell out of it. I didn't keep up with it. But then they finally came on Disney Plus, and they had, well, I guess they do Christmas specials all the time.
They do. There's one Christmas special.
Yeah, so they relaunched it with 3 episodes featuring an older Doctor Who.
Yep.
And I thought those were great. I'm all, oh, cool. Like, maybe I'm into Doctor Who. Like, I'm all, okay, this is cool. And then they kind of spun off into a new character. And okay, so he's a black guy, whatever. That makes sense. Because Doctor Who can basically regenerate. It's a built-in James Bond thing. Instead of having to recast James Bond every 7 years, you just have him die and he wakes up in a new
almost
body.
Die. Yeah. Regenerates.
Yeah.
And then that new. And so most recently, it was Doctor Who was a woman. It was Jodie Whittaker. Yeah. And some of the worst woke horseshit. I've watched them and I'm like, it's like when you just hate yourself because you're watching it. Yeah. But you're like, it's Doctor Who. Yeah, I need to watch it.
I've been watching it for 13 years. Yeah, I got to watch this season.
I got to watch this season. And this one.
And she only lasted 1 year, right?
No. Two or three. It was real.
Around for one.
Well, nobody watched it, so it's hard. Like,
hard to tell.
I skipped like a whole like most of the last season was just she was in. I'm just like, okay, that didn't exist for me. Yeah. I'm just gonna go, and I watched a little bit of the Christmas ones.
Yeah,
I didn't watch all of them.
There's only three.
I know. Again, I'm watching shows.
Okay. Well, anyway, they were all 3 of them were pretty good. That I was like, oh my god, you know, if I had access to it, if they put all the older stuff on Disney Plus, I'd watch that guy's David Tennant. Right.
But they didn't. Yeah, David Tennant. But they didn't do that.
Yeah. So I would go. I don't want to have to sign up for BBC just to watch one show. Right. But I would go back and watch his seasons because I really liked him as Doctor Who. I wish they just brought him back.
He was the best Doctor Who. He was.
They kind of did a cheat. Did it right. Okay, so did you see the last one where the new Doctor comes out? The third one of the ones.
No, I didn't see that one.
That was the one with Neil Patrick Harris was the villain, the toy maker.
No, I didn't. Okay. No, I think I skipped the last one I watched, and I've.
Okay, well, obviously you know there's a new Doctor Who.
Yeah, of course, yes.
But they didn't kill off David Tennant. They regenerated, but both of them were still there. And he took off, like, he's still doing adventures. So it's almost like, if this guy doesn't work out, we could bring him back, or we could do two Doctor Who's at the same time now.
Huh.
They kind of kept their doors open, and I wonder why they did that. It was kind of weird, because, like, that doesn't normally happen, right? He regenerates, yeah. And he's a new guy, yeah. And you start the new yeah. series. They did a double regeneration where he stayed himself, and the new guy showed up. And I kind of liked the new guy.
Well, now I gotta watch it. Yeah. So I like the new guy.
Yeah. Oh, he's good. He's a good actor.
He's a good actor. But there's always been the thing. And now I could be wrong. I mean, it has been many years of watching Doctor Who.
Yes.
But Doctor Who is always, like, kind of asexual.
Yeah.
Like, doesn't
have love interest.
Platonic love for his companion.
Yes.
And that's really it.
Like friendship that he cares so much he'd put his life on the line.
Exactly. Him. Exactly. And then all of a sudden now that we've put a gay actor mm-hmm. as Doctor Who, now all of a sudden he has to make out with some dude.
Yeah.
And you're like,
And then, the third episode, they had a trans villain, like in drag.
Oh, that was actually, you know what? That was a really good episode. I didn't really understand it. It was like, there's no music? It was really weird episode?
It's like
episode.
Our Scooby-Doo thing. So Scooby-Doo's been around for 50 years. There's been many different incarnations of Scooby-Doo. It's always pretty much the same thing. The characters are consistent. You know, they're always just like, they do the same type of stuff. And then they decide, HBO decides, okay, we're going to do this alternate Scooby-Doo where the characters are different colors and different this and different that, and Scooby-Doo's not even in it.
There's no Scooby-Doo.
But we're gonna cancel the Scoob. They did that Scoob movie, right? And the Scoob movie I actually thought was pretty good. They had like they were trying to create like a Hanna-Barbera universe, but the problem is it happened right during the pandemic, so it didn't really get a real release. It kind of just like, you know, got a temp, you know, kind of a, you know, direct to DVD or whatever.
That was a good movie.
It was a decent movie. Yeah. It was like a new twist on it, but it had like the Blue Falcon and these other characters from some of the they were trying to set up a whole Hanna-Barbera thing.
Yeah.
And then they were doing another sequel to that, which was like a Christmas special or a Halloween special. They finished it. And they basically Batgirled it and put it in the vault and so we'll never see it.
What?
But they made Velma, and then Velma gets a season two. So you take this beloved children's franchise, you bastardize it with this basically parody, this woke parody of Scooby-Doo,
mm-hmm.
and then you're just going to continue doing that, but you can the actual Scooby-Doo that could have set up like a whole bunch of cool Hanna-Barbera stuff. But they even had Captain Caveman was even in that movie.
Oh my gosh. I can't believe that this is...
So that was fun. That was a fun movie. I want to see Scooby-Doo. I love Scooby-Doo. I grew up with Scooby-Doo as a kid.
Yeah.
I liked the Scooby-Doo movies, which were slightly more adult.
Yeah.
But they were still in the spirit of Scooby-Doo.
Right.
And now they're just like, oh, let's take this beloved franchise and make... What if your kid is like looking through the Scooby-Doo collection and stumbles across...
Velma.
No. Yes. So that's now what they've done with Doctor Who. Is they basically said, okay, this character has never been this his entire time. And he's basically supposed to be the same character, just regenerating into new bodies with slightly different personalities.
Right.
But not just all of a sudden, now I like men.
Yeah, and he's it's like, okay, now he's regenerated. Now he's in a club, in a tank top, like dancing with, in like...
Looks like he's wearing a skirt.
It's really, that part of it...
And again, the actor is great. I think you would make if he just played it the way Doctor Who is from all the other stuff, I think it would be great. There's been some decent episodes.
There have been some good episodes. And I have been, and my wife's like, why, you know, because I was complaining about it. But she's like, why are you still watching it? I'm like,
I don't know.
Because it's Doctor Who, and this is what I do. So I am. You said, like, why I didn't watch those three with David Tennant.
Yeah.
Beth, because I started watching clips.
Yeah.
And it started like, you know, like saying, oh, you're they, them. Oh, okay. Well, okay. That's what I'll do. I'll call you they, them.
Yeah.
And I go, all right, fuck that. And I'm like, I'm going to skip this.
They snuck that into the first one, the David Tennant. So he comes back and that character fits from his old show, like the older lady.
I don't know
what her name is. So apparently her daughter is I don't know what I am.
Okay.
So they kind of snuck it in with that. And then now the whole new show is just like, it's all about this.
Yeah,
we have to have it represented some way in every third episode.
Yeah.
Every third episode has to have like a part of the storyline.
Yeah, and
the dumbest thing is, you've got this hottie companion,
right?
Millie Gibson. I'm sorry.
Oh, And then she's got a trans friend.
Yeah. Oh, she does? Yes, maybe I didn't get that.
She's
part.
Got a trans friend.
Of course. Yeah. Everybody does, don't you?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. All my friends are trans.
Millie Gibson is hot. And I'm sorry. If I was the doctor traveling through time and could go anywhere, I'm not making out with some space bounty hunter man. I'm making out with Millie Gibson.
Right.
There was one really good episode that the doctor's actually not even been in two of his episodes, pretty much.
There was one where he was gone, like right in the beginning.
Yeah.
And then it's just Millie Gibson.
She lived her entire life. That was a cool episode.
That was a good episode. Yeah. I really liked that one.
The person that was always 68 feet away or 68 yards away. That was a cool episode. That was like one of my favorites. My least favorite ones was the one where they stepped on the landmine. People loved that episode. And I'm like, that was like a let's save some budget on this episode.
We're going to save on the budget.
We got three actors and one of them standing on a landmine.
Piles of garbage and dirt and a robot with a screen. And a lit circle.
Yeah. Again, expectations. So it's a show you've loved your whole life and they've kind of... You had a problem with Ahsoka just not being much like her character. This could be any further from him not being like his normal character.
Right.
Yeah, so it's difficult. Another show.
Oh.
This is not sci-fi. Well, technically it is. Have you seen Sugar on Apple Plus?
No.
Colin Farrell, he's basically like a detective, and it's kind of like some girl might have been kidnapped, and he's dealing with these Hollywood families, but there's like a weird twist to it. And my thing about that show was like, it's one of the coolest like stylistic shows. Like it's very much like trying to be like a 1940s, 1930s, but in modern times. So this guy has like a love of old classic movies. And so everything's shot where he's like driving like some old car. And it's just film wise, being a film student, I watch this show and I just marvel at the shots, the camera shots. And it's probably the best thing I've seen him. I'm not a huge fan of his.
I haven't really loved
most of his stuff, but he's really good as this like kind of odd, weird detective. And there's a twist, so don't look it up online because you'll ruin the twist.
Okay.
But you'll probably, now that I've told you, once I was told that there was a twist, this is the problem. So they came out with this show, and like the reviewers got to watch multiple episodes in advance, right?
Okay.
And so they all were saying, there's a big twist. So the whole time, everybody, because I watched like the after show breakdown things, everyone's just trying to figure out what the twist is. And when someone's told you there's a big twist, it makes you see things differently.
You're looking for the twist. Yeah, exactly.
And it would have been better if nobody had said anything.
Oh, okay.
Because then you might have gone like, he's just kind of odd. But it's cool. It's a cool show. It's just very, very cool. It's like, I just think like, you know, old detective stories, like film noir. It's like modern film noir, where he's like a detective. Think of like a L.A. Confidential, that kind of stuff.
Okay.
But it's definitely...
Sugar.
My second favorite show of the year after Dark Matter, and they're both on Apple Plus. It's called Sugar. It's about 6-7 episodes, and it's...
Now, I think we talked about Ted Lasso last time we podcasted.
Yeah, I'm sure.
A year ago.
Yeah.
Seems like. But another one I really... enjoy not at all like anything we've been talking about.
Uh-huh.
Loudermilk.
Loudermilk.
Loudermilk. One? Loudermilk.
I've heard of it before, but I can't remember who the actor is.
It's a guy.
It's a comedy.
I'm not good at names, but it, no, it's not. It's not
Tell
a comedy
me what,
at all.
Something else he's been in.
So, in my Office Space.
Office Space.
The lead character.
Okay, I know who he is. I can't remember his name for some reason, but I exactly know who he is.
Yes, this is the what's the guy's name? Ron Livingston.
Okay.
Ron Livingston. And he is a sober counselor.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just about him helping
people.
This group of people. And they're weird, just the most motley crew that come into his group.
Is it more of a drama?
It's a drama. It's okay. An absolute drama.
So it's not like Newhart.
No, not at all.
Like the original Newhart where he's like a psychiatrist.
No. But seriously, like, I found Ted Lasso, I found very uplifting. I found it very positive. I found the same thing, even though it's a much darker subject matter. I found a very similar feeling. I'm like, this is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if there's going to be another three. I think there's three seasons right now.
What's it on? Which one?
It's on. It's actually on Netflix.
Netflix. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's bingeable then.
Yeah, it is. So good.
That was
one of my favorite shows I watched in the last.
Only other current thing we're watching right now is Presumed Innocent. Jake Gyllenhaal.
I heard that's good.
It's really solid so far.
You're like all Apple Plus all the time here.
Well, no, it's all the best shows have been on that really recently. It's weird. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, I don't know. I just, and there's shows I didn't even know were, they don't advertise like that. Their shows are coming out real well.
I've never heard any of these shows.
Netflix, you just turn on and you go, oh, this show's out. Cobra Kai comes back in a couple weeks.
It's like in a couple days.
Yes, but it's part one of three where they're doing four episodes and then waiting for 3 months and then doing four episodes and then waiting 3 months.
I might just have to wait till they're all out.
They're trying to stretch out every last bit of milk they could out of the teat of Cobra Kai. But yeah, we're going to binge four episodes and we're going to wait, or you're just going
to
wait to do it all.
I'll just wait till the end.
Okay. That's going to be next February.
You know what?
You have to wait through next February.
I'm still angry. Like back when we started podcasting, like because Cobra Kai was on YouTube Premium back, and you're like,
none of us are signed up for YouTube.
You're like, oh, we're not going to sign up for that. I'm not going to spend $4.99.
Well, I was. The thing is, though,
and now you're like, you're HBO Max, you're Apple Plus, you've got like eight different things.
Right now.
Oh, you don't? Okay. Well, I mean, you're going to in a couple weeks.
I'm going to get it back again just to see. I'm going to almost wait till House of Dragons is all completed. And just watch it all.
You know, here's what you need to do. Like I got rid of my HBO, my Max subscription. I'm like,
the family was complaining because they couldn't access it.
And so my son got it, and then I added myself on his account.
That's what you do. That's a smart move.
I know. And so
I need to try that.
I know.
The kids are getting older.
That's right. They're like, yeah, I got some money. I'll spend.
I'll be like, Maddie,
15,
I'm sorry, I just
16
can't,
bucks
I just
a
can't,
month.
You can't watch season 15 of Grey's Anatomy, so you're just gonna have to. You pay $5 a month. Just give me the code, because all the kids take my code.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, they're all over the place.
Yeah, so I got rid of it. I got rid of Hulu.
Yeah.
Well,
Hulu's now part of Disney. They have it's on the Disney app.
Is it?
Go
no,
on
no,
Disney.
No, but no, but you have to pay extra for it. If I remember right, you pay a different price.
Oh, maybe because I think I had Disney and Hulu as a package, but you had to log into separate apps to watch them, and now it's all on the Disney app.
Oh, so maybe I can log into Hulu with my Disney. I don't think so.
No,
I think it's separate.
But I'm saying I go onto my Disney app, and the Hulu things are right on there.
Yeah,
so it's showing like American Horror Story on the banner where you're supposed to see like Winnie the Pooh or the bear or whatever else.
Oh, that's interesting.
And they just recently came out with season three of Shorzy, which I binged in like one.
I saw that. I have not watched that yet.
It's pretty good. It's much more serious. Like Letterkenny is much more like a comedy throughout. And Shorzy kind of gets into like following the hockey team, but then when he when he goes to his retorts, like so it's played by the same character, you know that, right?
Yes.
He's on this hockey team, but he also like referees for like a youth hockey thing, and he just starts telling the people what he's doing to their moms, and it's just like.
After I told you about Letterkenny,
I binged it. And
I still haven't finished. Every once in a while, I'll still watch like one or two episodes. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, I'm ready. But it's on. What is it on?
It's on Hulu.
It's on Hulu. So yeah. That's why I haven't. Been, yeah. I stopped watching it.
No, but I loved it. I've watched all of Letterkenny, Kenny, and all of Shorzy.
So there's my Disney app, and it does not have Hulu on it.
Okay.
So it is a different level.
But it's literally you only have to log into one app now. You don't have to switch between the
right.
Two
so coming Friday. Descendants, The Rise of Red.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
It's the Descendants series. It was actually pretty decent.
It was like children of me.
But.
Yeah, children of the characters, the beloved Disney characters.
Yeah, it was a kind of fun musical, fun twist or whatever.
So, a new episode every two. So it is how is, I'm just saying because the Acolyte. How many more episodes of the Acolyte?
One more.
So then I can do them all.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Because
it probably worked better because a lot of people were just like, I need to know what happens in this. Like, so episode three is like a flashback to 16 years ago, and then it goes like a couple episodes of current time, and then you have to wait till episode seven to get the other version of the flashback because you watch the flashback episode. And it's got, like, missing pieces.
Hmm.
You're like, oh, well, what happened? Like, and so you have to wait. You had to wait. So for you, won't have to wait. You'll just be like, okay, I saw that a couple episodes later. Okay. Episode 5 is the best one.
Episode 5
is, like, the 25-minute lightsaber battle. And, you watched The Good Place, right?
I haven't watched all the seasons, but I've watched it, yes.
The character Jason, the monk.
Yes.
The fake monk. He's like one of the characters on that show.
Oh, really?
And he does a really good job.
Okay.
He does a really good job. I won't say much more because I don't want to ruin anything.
Yeah.
He's like one of the main characters on that show too.
Oh, good. Well, that's awesome.
Yes.
Well, again, just us tonight. I did get a text, by the way.
Oh.
So there was something about I don't know. Let's see. What was it? Fuck, man. I'm stuck late working in Garden Grove. He's down the street. I'm headed that way soon. I'll text you. Go ahead and start. I'm tardy as
usual.
AF. We've got this deadline on these Toyota parts.
We'll get Andy next time.
We'll get him next time, yes. Hopefully.
It's so funny because like we kept... Andy would like prepare these entire like monologues and sketches we were going to do. And then the night we were supposed to do them, he would be like, oh, I'm stuck in Catalina. That was the best one. I'm stuck on Catalina.
I'm stuck on Catalina. No,
you could have told us that 3 hours ago.
There was a chance. There was a thing. You're like, oh, yeah, my boat's at 7. I'm like, you're not going to be here at 9. This is not going to happen.
So anyway, there's been so many things that were prepared or subjects that we never talked about just because, like, you know, again, we all get busy.
So we should get
scout meetings.
We should put together a Google Doc of topics here, yes, that we're talking and get back to a regular, yeah, schedule. And then whoever shows up.
Oh, and we didn't talk about it, but maybe a subject for the future is just a brief thing, Time Bandits. So I love the original Time Bandits. The original Time Bandits was directed by Terry Gilliam, mm-hmm, had several of the pythons in it. My favorite part was John Cleese as a Robin Hood smacking the people when he would hand them their gold, and he'd smack the poor people in the heads as like a reward for giving them the gold, or like he just enjoyed the kick out of...
It's a yin and a yang there.
Yeah, and then, so the new one is Taika Waititi and Jeremy Clements. Jeremy Clements is from Flight of the Conchords. They did What We Do in the Shadows, basically. Mm-hmm, they did the, yeah, movie, which then the TV show is based on. And so there's similar comic behind it. Like, it very much a vibe. It's like the New Zealand version of Python people, basically, behind the show. And then Phoebe, Lisa Kudrow, is the main character, taking over for the Billy Barter. They decided to ditch the 8-midget concept and went with just a random band of time thieves.
What's that going to be on, Brad?
That is going to be on, I think, Apple
Is that it's a show?
Yeah, it's a TV show. It's like it's a 10-episode.
And when does it come out?
I do not know. The trailer hit today, so I'll have to look it up. I think it might be... August, September. Usually when they drop a trailer, it's a couple months.
Yeah, so I'll link to that trailer in the chat, so I'll put that on the website with this.
Okay. So that's something to look out for in the future, a possible thing to...
But of all the things you've mentioned tonight, Dark Matter.
Dark Matter, by far my favorite, more than the Star Wars show. And you know how much I love Star Wars. So I'm like, Dark Matter was a surprise. I low expectations because I didn't even know it existed. Like, I didn't even know it was, like, in production or coming out. It's just like, oh, there's this new thing that's right up your alley, and it's got Jennifer Connelly in it.
So on one end, you've got no expectations, yeah, and then everything is good.
Yes.
Then on the other end, you have unreal expectations, and then those things suck.
Yeah, pretty much. That's pretty much how the world
there
works,
you go,
right?
Very good. If we could just tone that down and get just realistic expectations. Yes. Just like, this exists, and I'm going to view it.
Well, I tried to explain it to somebody, like, again, with the Star Wars thing, is it like, you know, don't get all... angry because one episode wasn't good when you've got, like, Bad Batch was good. Season 3 of the Bad Batch was great.
Oh, that was
great.
Awesome. Yeah, so, like, I did watch that.
So it's like you got the Bad Batch was great, and then 2 weeks after the Bad Batch ended, there was, like, that Tales of the Empire.
Empire, okay.
Which was still pretty good. It's like, why am I complaining that I'm getting, like, free Star Wars on my...
Those were, all of a sudden, that was, like, 15 minutes. Those were actually...
Yeah, those were short.
All of a sudden, they were, like, good. I'm like, oh, I wish that was longer.
They were, like, 3 episodes each, so it was almost like an episode each for each of those characters. And the cool thing about that series, because they did Tales of the Jedi before, is they can touch on a character that's not really, like, worth having a whole show for. Like, okay, this character doesn't deserve their own 13-episode or 20-episode show, but we can do an hour and give you more of the story of that character. So I love that. But, so it's like Star Wars. Like, how can I complain when I had, like, what was it? 19 weeks of Bad Batch and then another thing. And then I got a 8-episode Star Wars show and another one coming. Like, so even if I don't like this one, there's another one coming 4 months from now. And as long as they don't, you know, Doctor Who it, I'm there. which is, if you look at the reviews online, everybody thinks Acolyte's Doctor Who. They don't talk about Doctor Who because Doctor Who doesn't get clicks.
Right.
Star Wars, whether they say it's doing good or bad, gets so many clicks that every single thing has to say I love it or hate it just so they get more clicks on their page. You can tell a show's popular when somebody has to have an opinion about it. Everybody has to have an opinion about it.
Right.
But don't read the Rotten Tomatoes. It's like 13%.
No, I don't. Again.
But again, you're probably better off for you... Because you didn't like how slow Andor started, you're probably better off binging it at the end.
Because
then you don't have to wait the next week to get answers to the Andor.
And it's always a problem because when I do it.
Yeah.
If I try to watch it like at night,
yeah,
I'm out. Well, I'm falling asleep in 5 minutes anyway.
This has been my problem with The Boys. So I can only watch The Boys when, like, everybody's asleep, right?
Right.
Like, oh, Kim's not home yet. Hudson's asleep. I'm gonna try to watch the boys. And then like someone's like Hudson wakes up from his nap. It's like I gotta turn it off.
And you got Carl Urban calling everybody cunts. And you're like, I don't want to
accidentally pause it in like you know the multi-man orgy. Like you can't watch that.
No, you can't.
Oh, I did start watching, but again, another show you can't watch with other people in the room. That Blue Mountain State. I found it on some random thing.
Oh my god, it's on like Roku channel.
It's so funny because Alan Rickman looks. He's not as like huge.
He's a normal sized guy.
He looks like a.
He's
you know,
big.
He looks
he's
like
buff.
A, yeah, he looks like a football player, but he doesn't look like. He did.
Did you watch season one episode three?
Season one episode. That one where they lose something at the strip club.
No, it's Pocket Pussy.
Yeah. Yes.
That one.
I thought the funnier thing was when they were running on the field carrying the Oreo.
Dude, that's like Cookie Challenge from my fraternity days.
Yeah. So anyway, it's so raunchy that like Kim's not gonna watch it with me.
Dude,
it's like
it is when season one is the best.
Yeah.
Later on, you get Radar Rendell or whatever the guy's name is, and like it's like okay, it's all right, but
yeah.
Dude, season one is pure gold. I think that was you know. When these guys get TV shows, Romanski or whatever his name is, you know, they get the show and like all this pent up like information, like oh, I got all these great ideas, and then like okay, you got season two, you're like, shit, I got nothing.
I feel like almost everything on Apple is written as a one season concept, and then they're like, oh, we got renewed. What do we do now?
They blow their load on season one, and nothing for season two.
Even like you know, as much as I love Ted Lasso. By the time they get to the third season, it's like Ted Lasso was in it less and less and less, and it started being all these side stories of these characters.
Right. Yeah.
I liked season one the best. Season one was about the team and the new. You know, it was season one was much more concise. That show with Jennifer Aniston and Steve Carell and Reese Witherspoon.
The
season
morning,
one was okay.
Morning show? No.
Yeah,
no,
that did morning. Yeah. Season one was okay, but it wasn't what my expectations were. I thought it was. I mean, if you got that cast, you need to do like a behind the scenes comedy. They went very drama with it. Season two was very unfocused. And of course, it had the thing where, just like on Ted Lasso, I'm a straight character. I love these two guys. Season three, I'm into women. Reese Witherspoon's character is completely straight, likes the producer guy, and she's a lesbian by season two. Every Apple show, they turn. It's not just being a gay character. You can have a gay character. If the character's gay from the beginning, I don't have a problem with it. But if you have a character who has no inclinations of being that way at all, and then season three, all of a sudden they're magically switched teams. It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
We watched episode one of season three, and you know how much I love Jennifer Aniston. Both me and Kim watched episode one. We're like, I don't need to watch anymore.
Oh man,
so we just gave up on the show completely.
That's too bad.
Yeah, but I did watch Schmigadoon season one.
Schmigadoon.
I made it through the rest of Schmigadoon.
Okay, this is pretty funny.
Yeah, I love what's his name, Keegan Michael Key. He's anything he's in, even if he's in a dumb thing, I think he's hilarious.
He's really funny.
Great. Okay, so anyway, we've gone too far.
Yes. So, I got a bunch of notes here. You can find all this information at superfantasticterrific.com. We're going to put that trailer for Time Bandit and just a whole laundry list of shows you've been watching. Yeah. And we'll talk to you again before 10 months from now.
Yeah. Hopefully we'll get another one in before December. Wait for our special Halloween special coming out in February 2025.
Okay, bye.